Live from the Skyline Studios, high above Columbus and Wacker Drive, it's me, Anna DeVlantis, here on WGN. Hope you're having a good day so far. Maybe you're one of the lucky ones who gets the President's Day off work. That's pretty cool. Or I know a lot of kids are off school, CPS and public schools, most of them that I know of. My daughter's in Catholic school. She's off today, too. So enjoy the day. Enjoy the extended weekend if you've got it. Fun fact here about President's Day for you. Then I want to get to what's coming up on the show. You probably know President's Day has its roots in George Washington's birthday, right? Okay. But did you know that his birthday was changed during his lifetime?
How does that happen?
How does that happen? That's a great question. I thought the same thing. How does that happen? So the federal holiday officially is called George Washington's birthday, even though we celebrate all presidents on this day. But here's the deal about his birthday. Washington was born on February 11th, but his birthday changed when British colonies switched to the Gregorian calendar, according to the Center for Legislative Archives. So his new birthday, when they recalculated on the Gregorian calendar, was February 22nd. Celebrated for many years before becoming a legal holiday in 1879. Then, fast forward to 1968, the Monday holiday law began to make it always on the Monday to create a three-day weekend and bring substantial benefits to both the spiritual and economic life of the nation. I'm like, wow. Just lazing around on the couch today, I don't know if you're living up to the true meaning of the holiday. Get up and do something.
I was like, can I change my birthday, the birth year, to add, you know... Last
don't
years.
You do that sometimes secretly when you're signing up for sites? I'm not born in that year. I'm going to pretend I'm born in this year because you don't need to know.
I'm not getting older.
Right. It feels better. Here's a couple things coming up for the show. Then I want to mention the NBA All-Star Game. Did you guys watch the NBA All-Star Game? Did you watch Lauren Lapka?
No, actually. I took a nice break from all real life TV news and sports and just watched movies all weekend.
Very,
it was a nice break.
Much needed.
It was the first one I think I've watched from start to finish because it was so Chicago focused and so many Chicagoans performing, and there was, you know, the tributes to the city, and they did so much about it. So I sat in front of the All-Star Game and I ate an entire box of Girl Scout Thin Mint cookies. And it was great. It was great.
You needed to buy those cookies anyway, so it was a good thing.
My daughter's selling them and they're around the house, so that's why I'm trying to get rid of them. But here's what's coming up on the show, then more about that, because there's one thing I want to mention about the NBA All-Star Game that stuck out for me. There were emotional tributes for sure to Kobe, and we knew about that, and they were as advertised, really moving. But then there was something that Common did that just surprised the heck out of me. And I want to play some of it and also just talk about that a little bit. But Bob Fioretti is coming up on the show. He's one of the candidates who'd like to unseat Kim Fox as the Cook County State's Attorney. He's going to make his pitch to you, see what you think. He's been on the station before, but he's coming on this show. We're also going to invite the other candidates. And he's got a new plan. He made some news this weekend because of his bond reform plan. We'll hear what he has to say about that, and, you be the judge, see what he says. Mr. Fix-It, Lou Manfredini, he's here as we get the temperature thawing thing.
Yes, you said you had an
unsightly... There's some funky smells. There are some funky smells coming out.
Unpleasant smell from your car, though.
This one's in my car.
Do you think you ran over something and didn't realize it?
I thought, did something crawl in there?
Oh, no.
No, that would have been terrible.
No.
I think it's more my daughter left some food underneath the seat kind of thing, and I cleared out some things that were hard to even understand what they were, but I took them out, and it still smells.
I wonder how many text messages and calls Lou gets from WGN Radio and WGN TV from his coworkers, because I feel as though I hear everyone say, well, I texted Lou, or text Lou.
He has the answers. He really does. And he's got the great products, too, the ones that really work. So you don't keep buying one thing after another after another. He just says, oh, you got that problem? Get this. And that's what he's good at.
And you trust him because he is the definitive expert.
Right. So he's known for house smarts, but today it's house smells. That's what we're talking about, because there are a number of them that, he'll take your calls. He'll answer your questions on that. And then furnaces and all the other cold weather stuff we like to ask Lou about just to check up on. When he's here. Money Monday, we're going to talk about credit card debt, $8,000 now per household on average. So how to bring down your interest payments while bringing up your credit scores. Because there's some ways, new ways that FICO is looking at your credit score. And if you have any debt at all, it could negatively impact you. So we're going to talk about ways you can bring it up. So that's pretty cool. All right, back to the NBA All-Star Game. Because, okay, so again, first one I think I've watched the entirety of forever. I don't think I've ever watched the whole thing. But there were so many Chicago things. And Common, who is a Chicago hip-hop star, he started things off after we saw Jennifer Hudson, we saw other performers. He started out with the introductions. The introductions. Somehow Common was able to rhyme the name of every single NBA player. They figured out, and you think about, okay, LeBron James, that's easy. That's kind of easy, right? You think about Middleton, Chris Middleton, that's sort of easy too. But, you know, he got all of the names, like some Nikola Jokic. Lauren, am I even saying that right? I don't know, but somehow he rhymed that name. That was with the dosage or something. And Giannis Antetokounmpo, I can't say that one
either.
Yeah,
his is difficult.
That rhymed with something. But here we do have a little bit of sound from the opening when he did the introductions at the NBA All-Star Game right here at the United Center in Chicago.
Like a protest on the court, he's an all-time disruptor. From the Miami Heat, y'all give it up for Jimmy Butler. Here from the champion Toronto Raptors. And you know they did it proudly. Six-time All-Star and floor commander, Kyle Lowry.
It was sort of a slant rhyme there. But it's still, I mean, remarkable the way he went through every single name. So here's one. Bam Adebayo. He's from the Miami Heat. Again, I hope I say his name right. Going hard in the paint is his style. Somehow it rhymed with Adebayo. I mean, he went through every single one. It was just, it was less... I was like, what? He did that one?
He's brilliant.
He really is. It was just cool from a performance standpoint, and it was cool to see Chicago in the spotlight in that way. Ryan Burrow is going to be here to talk about, kind of recap what happened if you missed it, and tell us about some things that maybe you didn't see.
What's so impressive is he's an A-list celebrity. He's won so many awards. I think he's pretty close to an EGOT. He doesn't have that yet, but he's won a lot. I think he's won an Oscar. He's won...
A Grammy, for sure. Yeah, Multiple Grammys.
I have to look that up. But the thing is, he could have easily phoned that in, but he decided not to. And he put the effort and work into it. And a lot of A-listers, you don't see doing that.
Right.
It was really, I mean, he's brilliant.
Yeah, kind of surprised to see just Kanye on the sidelines there. I thought he was performing, but Ryan may explain to us that's something I missed there. President Obama surprised the All-Stars, too. He came out and shook their hands and knew something about every single player. And that was pretty cool, but a lot of people posting about that. But it's just, you know, you think about the economic impact of something like that and how great it is for the city and how many people turned out for it. And it seemed to be really well received. So that's going to be coming up here. And Ryan Burrow will tell us more about that. Then in trending topics, we're going to get to this. The most accident-prone cars, according to insurance data. You might say, well, how can a car be accident-prone? It's really the driver, right? But they've looked at all the data and they've broken down the cars that are most likely to be in an accident. Some of it's surprising, right? So we're going to dig in on that as well coming up here.
So Common has an Emmy, Grammy, and Oscar. So just missing the Tony. That's it.
He'll get that for sure. How cool. Thank you, G, for looking that up. More to come here on WGN. Ryan Burrow is standing by. He works for ABC News. He also works for us here at WGN Radio, and we'll hear from him next. Ryan Burrow is here with some very interesting tidbits about the All-Star Game, including how he took a bus from the United Center to downtown that took 55 minutes.
Yeah, the All-Star Weekend must have hired a bunch of out-of-towners to run the buses, because I was fuming, too. I was telling you this.
Let's get to it in just one minute. Ryan. All right, now to the All-Star Game and Ryan Burrow. So you were on a bus, and it took 55 minutes to get from the United Center to downtown.
Yeah, well, I took the media shuttle, because it's right across the river here at the Sheraton. So I'm like, well, that's easy. I'll just park at work and then take the shuttle over. Then I don't have to worry about parking at the United Center and everything like that. So it's me and a bunch of out-of-town media, right? Because they're all staying at the hotels.
There's other people who are from here driving themselves, most likely, I guess, especially if you don't live close by.
Yeah, I mean, going there was fine. And then after the slam dunk contest on Saturday night, we all loaded up on the bus. And with all these people, they're from Spain, they're from Dallas, they're from New York. And we're driving along. I'm like, what the heck is this bus driver doing? We're way far north of North Avenue. Like, we're trying to get downtown. I'm like, are you kidding me? We finally came down Michigan Ave, and I'm like, all right. And before we got across the river, she kept going straight, and so we ended up kind of in no man's land here, and I was just fuming, absolutely fuming.
Yeah, but you know, you look at, and we want to get to this piece after we talk about the actual event, but the economic impact of all of this is huge when you look at the people who are here, staying in hotel rooms, going to restaurants, using cars and taking Ubers and maybe buses that don't necessarily know where they're going, but you've got, and then you have all the people who, caterers and things like that. Mm-hmm. I live in the West Loop. There were so many parties because of its proximity, I think, to the United Center. A lot of things were happening there. And you just, everywhere you
look. If that wasn't a choke point enough, as it is,
totally,
right?
Yeah, it totally was. But I just think about that. I know that in the past, the NBA has said the last 2 years, there's been like a $100 million injection into the economy. When you look, you really break down everything that it brings.
I'm anxious to see what the mayor's office or whomever comes out with those numbers says. Hopefully that comes out here pretty soon.
Yeah, you do. You do. So, okay, the actual ceremony. You were there. You were inside. You just showed me the program. One of the things I heard from people who were not there that was very different than if you watched it on TV was you were given those bracelets.
Yes.
When you got in. And then when Common said something about Kobe was the light, they all illuminated.
Yeah, yeah, they do this a lot at concerts now. I know my daughter went to Taylor Swift. They did this. I think they've done it for some of the other big concerts at Soldier Field. But they give you these bracelets, and then they can control what colors flash on the bracelets. And actually, not just the Jennifer Hudson singing when they flashed and they turned different colors, but also during the game when Team LeBron scored, your bracelet would flash blue, and when Team Giannis would score, your bracelet would flash red.
So the whole time your bracelet's going off.
Yeah, in fact, it's probably going off on my kitchen counter right now.
Was it kind of cool?
Well, I mean, you eventually don't even notice it. Yeah. I mean, you are a piece of what is going on.
Color for when there was a defensive play, right? But it never went off?
All right.
Wow, that goes deep, Steve.
This guy's texting me during, so it's so, what do you say, like zero defense or something like that?
Are they playing the 0-0 zone?
This is like the most exciting NBA All-Star game in history.
And it kind of was.
Flipping over to whatever you were
it
watching.
It kind of was. You had Anthony Davis, Chicago zone, charter school grad.
Perspectives. Down the street there, yeah.
And he scored the final winning
I don't know
point.
if they wanted it to be a free throw to end it, but that's the way it turned out. It was super exciting. And so it was dripping with Kobe stuff. I think you've kind of talked about the Jennifer Hudson. I was behind her, so I couldn't really see everything that was on the screen. We kind of had a pitch down angle of what was going on there, but you could hear a pin drop in that place. I mean, it was super quiet while she was singing that, very, very engaging for the audience. And then you mentioned Common. I mean, he, by the way, and I'll pull the curtain back a little bit. Jennifer Hudson had a teleprompter, which, you know, you're in front of, there's too much to go wrong, right?
There is, how people will beat you up if you get one thing wrong.
Common did not have a teleprompter at all, so he rolled through that 6 minutes.
Wait, can we hear, our producer Jasmine, can we hear just a little more of that Common? Because I was talking earlier about how he rhymed every single starter in the NBA, whether it was Team Giannis or Team James, LeBron James. He rhymed every single name with some lyrics, and I was just blown away.
Think you can shake this first time All-Star? Au contraire, mon frère. From the Utah Jazz, the Stifle Tower, Rudy Gobert.
Gobert! He rhymed Gobert.
Yeah.
How did he rhyme Gobert? Wait, this one more.
Inside or outside, either way, he'll get you. First time All-Star from the Utah Jazz, Donovan Spider Mitchell.
There you go.
Yeah. Spider Mitchell.
Yeah.
Every single one. I was like, no, he's got, I don't even know how to say it, Giannis Antetokounmpo.
You got it. Antetokounmpo.
He rhymed his name. He rhymed every single one of them. I was like, oh my, but it wasn't even the rhyming. It was just the lyrics and the way it just got the crowd going.
So here's what made this so unique and so special compared to other years. Number one, we all got our little love letter to Chicago, right? I mean, we all kind of got to pat each other on the back and say, yep, you know, this is the city of Dwayne Wade and this is the city of D-Rose and Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen. And, you know, we got all those warm and fuzzies about the city and where everyone came from. Common called them the corners of the city.
Because
and
they stood in front of like a mock-up of the city. It looked like some kind of, it was white and it just had all the buildings. And they pointed to neighborhoods where they all were from or spent time. They had President Obama do one, talk about Hyde Park, where he spent a lot of time. And you had like D. Wade and Common, so many, legendary Chicagoans.
But then you had this overarching theme, right, of the Kobe death and how to weave that in. And I thought they did a really good job because you had Chicagoans telling the story of Kobe Bryant. Now, Kobe Bryant will be laid to rest formally next weekend. So they're going to do another big thing at the Staples Center. But this was a chance for the basketball world to come together and celebrate Kobe together on a whole in one night. And so that's what made it unique. And I think they did a really good job weaving the two storylines in together, making everyone feel great. And the game itself, I mean, we can talk about the slam dunk contest, which was insane, but the game itself was crazy because you had them playing for charity and you had the kids down on courtside cheering for
them,
the team LeBron, the team Giannis. And there was one point in the fourth quarter where team Giannis was on the free throw line. I can't remember who it was. And LeBron looks over at the team LeBron kids and pumps his arms up like, come on, start cheering. Let's get this. I mean, they were intense. They were playing for these kids. Everything was on the line. They tied in the third quarter. I mean, so that meant the money rolled over. So, I mean, and it was a close game. There was a mentality there that hasn't been there before. And part of it was the kids. And part of it, too, was the fact that they were competing for the Kobe Bryant MVP, All-Star MVP trophy, right? This was the first time that it had been named in his honor. And I guarantee you, there were a half dozen players on there that were thinking, that trophy's going to be mine. I want to lay claim to being the first player to win the Kobe Bryant's All-Star MVP.
And who ultimately won it?
It was Kawhi Leonard. And he is not Mr. Spokesman. He's not the guy you would hire to, give a presentation. He's very, he's known around the league for being a very closed person. Let's just put it that way. A lot of one-word answers. But, you know, even he opened up afterwards and said that, you know, Kobe inspired him. And he's so thrilled to be able to take that trophy and put it in his case as the first person to have ever won that award.
I saw the interview with him, and you could see there was emotion there, that it was a movie.
And he's not a guy who shows much emotion at all. No.
Yeah, so it was, you know, just that. So now moving forward, will they give out a Kobe MVP trophy? Is that what its name is?
This is permanent. He went to the All-Star game 18 consecutive years, won four All-Star MVPs. So they think that this is a good tribute to him. And I don't think anyone would disagree, especially after everything that has happened. It seems that, this is something
fitting.
That's going to live on. Yeah.
Doesn't it? Well, being here in Chicago and celebrating Chicago in so many ways. There was a huge Chicago theme throughout. I don't usually watch this, the All-Star game, the NBA All-Star. So I don't know if they always pay such tribute to the city, but clearly, we've got a significance to basketball here, the home of MJ and so many people who've spent time here in the city, gone on to great things in the NBA. But there were Chicago performers, there was Chicago all over the place, but zero Chicago Bulls. Zero, none. There wasn't one. And I know we knew that, but I guess it felt even more of a vacancy.
We had a chance on Media Day. That was the Saturday at Wintrust to talk to Zach LaVine, and you could tell he
wanted to be there.
He wanted to be there and said that he would probably be participating in more things if he had made that All-Star team. He said, there aren't 12 guys that are better than me out there right now.
Really?
We'll also talk to him about Team USA and not making the Team USA roster. We'll have that coming up on this week's Quest for Gold podcast, so make sure to listen to that.
Steve, do you guys follow the NBA more than me? Do you think that Zach LaVine deserved to be there?
I don't follow the NBA very much.
No.
Yeah, me neither. I mean, you could make an argument just to try and represent more teams, I think. But at the same time, I think he was also right that the other players that were on the teams were better.
Yeah. Well, maybe another year for him. I mean, he's still a young player, right?
It kind of stinks because we had all this big basketball hype and all these great vibes, and now we get to go back to this team. You know, it's I don't know if I can go back to watching this kind of basketball in the United Center after what I just saw.
The next game at the United Center, not
nearly against the Hornets, I think.
Exciting as that. Overall, did you see President Obama? I mean, he stopped by and shook hands with some of the players, but maybe, I don't know if he even went to the game.
I did not. I saw Chance at his own office. They actually had a sign on there that said Chance's office. The bowels of the United Center, if you've never seen them, it's crazy. It's like the backstage of a theater. You've got people, you've got cheerleaders running by, you've got band members, you've got security hustling players by, you've got celebrities moving around. It's really fun to watch.
Yeah, so did you see, were they all hanging out with each other kind of thing?
I didn't see that,
Kanye was sitting on the sidelines, but you didn't
see... Were they rotating them in and out? I felt like they were. I was looking for Kim's big pillow dress or coat or whatever. whatever that was. Looked like my comforter was her dress.
Except it was really bright color. Yes. But other than that, it looked very, very comfortable. Like she could go and take a nap somewhere later and rest on that.
I feel like I should have seen Chaka Khan walking around based on what she was wearing, but I never did.
Yeah, it sounds like such a cool thing to get to go to.
Yeah.
Thanks for letting us share in what you got to see out there. Ryan Burrow from ABC News and WGN Radio News, who was there at the NBA All-Star Game at the United Center. Another note, something to talk about, is that former President Obama, did meet with Mayor Lightfoot, and that happened while he was here for that, and some things going on over at the foundation at his where they're building his not library,
the
but
center, the presidential center.
Right. I wanted to call it a library, but it's actually not officially the library. It is a center. And they sort of met a little bit about some of the things that are holding up that process. And that also went on this weekend as all the celebs were in town. All right, we've got more coming up here, including Bob Fioretti, and he wants to be the next Cook County State's Attorney. He's going to tell us why, and he made some news over the weekend. He'll talk about that as well here on WGN. Who walked into the studio? He's dancing because that music kind of makes you. You're a good dancer there, Bob Fioretti.
I
just add that to the resume. Lawyer, former alderman, and running for Cook County State's Attorney against incumbent Kim Fox. I know there are four challengers on the Democratic side, two on the Republican side. You're one of them on the Democratic side, and you made some news this weekend on an issue that has been in the news a lot lately, which is bond reform. What are you trying to do, Bob, as you look at the system now?
Well, first of all, Kim Fox has created a system with Tony Preckwinkle and the Chief Judge Tim Evans, where it's really a revolving door on what's happening here. Those same kind of felonies that carjackers are being treated like jaywalkers, essentially. It is time that we need a comprehensive reform. Look, I admire Tim Evans. He's a good guy. However, he was very misguided on what he did here. And everyone agrees that nobody should languish in prison or in jail, for months or years because they can't afford a low cash bond. And as a civil rights lawyer, I've spoken about this for years. Mm-hmm. So we need to protect the rights of the accused, but we also need to protect the rights of society. And are we making society less safe when we do this kind of a bond issue that the person's out on the next day? No. We need to protect everybody's rights.
Let's talk a little bit about that, what you referenced, the Chicago Tribune investigation, which I thought was eye-opening. We had David Jackson on the show last week because he was one of the reporters who, for a very long period of time, of months, compiled the data as much as they could get their hands on. I don't think that Chief Judge Timothy Evans was initially very cooperative, now has since reversed his position on that and is cooperating with data and being more transparent. But he actually is in charge of the data, and then he's in charge of examining the data. And the analysis, the Tribune found out, was deeply flawed. And they showed that this claim, or what we've commonly heard of, is that the violent offenders or offenders in general who are out on bond are not going out and committing violent crimes, that it's a 0.6% total, according to the chief judge. So it's very small. It's like a rare occurrence is the way it's been talked to us about that particular issue. Now the Tribune found out that they were excluding what is a violent crime, like domestic battery, not included, assault, not included, assault with a deadly weapon, not included, battery, armed violence, reckless homicide, not included in the data about committing a crime while out on bond. So it cuts to a very important issue in your race, because if you're Cook County State's Attorney, you have to decide how do we handle that kind of an issue? What do you do when someone commits a crime? Who do you decide to put away? And then you also, the social justice piece of it, that for too long, minorities have sat in Cook County jail simply because they couldn't afford the $500 to pay to post bond and get out. And that didn't seem right, especially for nonviolent crimes. That's the piece of it I think we all were in agreement on, Bob,
right?
That we need to do something about that. And I think when Kim Fox ran, we all said, you know what? You're right. There is a problem there. But the issue is now, has it gone too far?
Yes, and I do believe it's gone too far. But at the same time, I also believe we need a comprehensive group. That's why I called upon the Supreme Court to convene a historic summit of people, prosecutors, defense attorneys, public defenders, the chief judges that hear these cases every day, law enforcement, so we can deal with the problem. One thing that is happening that breaks down the cooperation in the communities is if you're a victim or if you're a witness to a serious crime, and the person gets out the next day with little or no bond, it jolts that individual onto saying, well, should I testify or not? Will I be the next victim from him or her that's committed that crime? So, you know, we have to be very careful on what's happening. Let's face facts. Everybody that was named in that Tribune article and the pictures that were shown were people of color. And those are the communities that are hit the hardest with crime. How many murders did we have this week? Four or five?
It was a very violent weekend for children.
Again. And so, I mean, last weekend, I think it was last weekend, we had the most violent weekend in 18 years. Mm-hmm. We've got to quit kidding ourselves on how we are doing this. We got to quit coddling violent criminals, carjackers, as you just listed off everybody. We have to take a firm stance to protect everybody's rights, but at the same time, we've got to protect those that are out there.
Do you think that's the most important issue facing this office, whoever should assume this position in the future?
Well, I also think it's credibility, transparency, integrity. The current office holder that is, you know, many people who voted for her thought she had it. I think the Jesse Smollett case destroyed any integrity or any credibility that she has. You can look at it in three different ways. One, she took a phone call, and this is why it destroyed it. She took a phone call from a very important person. She lied to the public about her recusal, and she treated Jesse Smollett differently than anybody else. All of those lends itself that why she should be out, but all of these other issues that we're talking about now are reasons that she should go.
I don't know that it destroyed her, because I think the polls still show that she's very much in the lead and that she's getting a lot of many high-profile people to pour money into her campaign, a lot of contributions coming her way. Let me just... let's hear. Rokan had her on last week. Kim Fox came on, and I want to listen to a little bit here of what she said and get your reaction to it. Bob Fioretti, and here it is.
If you could do it over again, what would you do differently?
You know, I've talked extensively about this. I certainly would want people to know how we do our work and the priorities that we have, and in Chicago in particular, priorities around violent crime and dealing with, you know, the homicide rate that we're seeing in so many of our neighborhoods and the like. And so explaining to people where our priorities are and that making sure that people understand our limited resources and how we allocate them. We have limited resources in the county, in a county that has a significant violent crime problem.
So she's saying that I'm focusing on the violent crime, so that whole Jesse Smollett thing that everyone made hay out of is really not, it isn't as big of a deal as people are making it out to be, and my priorities are on violent crime.
Well, I'm not disagreeing that violent crime should be the priority, but I am getting to hear from many of the people on the far left that it's black and brown versus white. And every time I hear that from somebody from the left, from the far left, it is, to me, they don't understand what's happening to the ordinary people out there, to the people in the communities, in the neighborhoods. To me, that's one of the more racist aspects of anybody using any type of conversation to start this. Yes, we have 800 attorneys in the state's attorney's office. Limited resources. Maybe she should be lobbying her boss, who's Tony Preckwinkle, and the county board for more money to solve these problems, to bring more prosecutors and to bring more public defenders at the same time.
Yeah, and I think the prioritization piece of it, I think most of you on the Democratic side and even the Republican side would agree you have to prioritize violent crimes in this city, not nonviolent crimes. I think the issue with the Smollett case that really caused people to lose some faith in her office was that it seemed as if you had a high-profile, powerful person call in on your behalf, that that made a difference to this office, and that justice was not blind when it comes to that kind of thing, when it came to how many powerful people you knew or who you were. That's where she lost some faith and respect from people here, and that's what I continually hear coming up.
Well, it not only from people here, she's getting big money from outside. She's getting big money from certain unions that she has to deal with. Let's face facts. They have an interest in her election, and they are plowing in tons of money.
What is that interest, would you say?
She has to negotiate contracts on behalf of the county. She has to sit at the board. And if the service unions come before her, give money, it's a clear conflict of interest. Mm-hmm. Any of the unions that have to deal with county business or employees with the county that give money to it, it's a conflict of interest. Don't forget, when I was alderman my first year in office, I gave back over $100,000 to developers. Why? Because they were trying to influence me. We should never take money. We need to bring our system under control, at least in terms of how contributions are coming in.
Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren have both endorsed her in the Cook County State's Attorney's race. Does that help her or hurt her, do you think?
Well, I would like either one of them to come to Inglewood with me. I'd like to either one of them to come to Madison in California with me. Maybe they'll see what's happening in this city. And maybe they're going to have a different opinion. They do not know what's happening here.
So you're calling, just to wrap up here, Bob Fioretti, who's running for Cook County State's Attorney, you're calling on the Supreme Court in Illinois to change the bail system. You want that to happen. Are you getting good reaction? Do you think that that's going to move along the way you think?
Well, I hope it would.
What do you like?
And the Supreme Court really controls the lower courts. They control the appellate court. They help make the rules. Same thing on the circuit court. They can make the difference. They can call the summit, do what's right for the people of Cook County.
Yeah. All right, Bob Fioretti, thank you for coming by WGN Radio. Always good to see you.
Always good. Thank you.
Enjoy your Monday. We've got more coming up here on WGN Radio. 847, we were talking about the NBA All-Star Game before. Did you guys happen to see the Lamborghini rolling around town this weekend? There were a number of cars and dark tinted windows and multiple cars traveling together. It seemed just so many celebrities in town this weekend. That was part of what was happening. All right, Lou Manfredini is here next, and he's going to tell you how to get the funky smells out of your house and out of my car. Coming up, Anna DeVellante is here, 146 on WGN. We were talking earlier about how when the weather thaws, sometimes you get some funky smells in your house and your car. And I mentioned I've got a really funky smell in the backseat of my car. I think it was food-related. I removed the suspected problems, and still that smell lingers. We had a couple of texters who, thank you very much, 847, say it could be the cabin filter in your vehicle that needs to be changed. When it's dirty, it smells like a dirty sock smell. That is the smell. That's exactly it. Well, Lou Manfredini is here. He's Mr. Fix-It. He knows all these kinds of things. And I want to ask you, do you think maybe it could be the cabin filter that I'm dealing with here? It's a horrible smell, Lou. It's like, it's so, It was fine when the weather was super cold because I keep my car outside a lot. And then as soon as that thaw happened, sure enough, the funky smell came on board.
Yeah. I bet it's like spilled milk or something like that in the carpeting. The cabin filter, I mean, the cabin filter in a car certainly does help to control odors. But when you have something that's temperature related like that, it's probably something that has spilled and gotten underneath the carpeting. You know, there is a pad in auto carpeting, just like there is in homes. Mm-hmm. And so if it absorbs into there and it can't get out, it can be a huge problem. So, you know, quite frankly, you can rent a carpet machine with an auto attachment, you know, that to go out there. Now, the problem is it's cold, and so you've got to find a warm place to do that. That can certainly help. There's other products that you can use both for the home and inside and out and even the auto. One of them that I really like is a product called Odors Out, and it's O-D-O-R-Z Out. And it's actually a granular. It's a granule material that you could sprinkle onto the carpeting or, you know, some area where you've got a whole problem with smells. And it's a natural odor eliminator. whether it's from a pet or padding or flooring and bedding. It removes that kind of musty, mildewy odor even in basements. And it's all natural, so it absorbs the odor. It captures it within the granules, and then you vacuum that up, and that does a really nice job.
So it gets to that pad level somehow? Or
well, what it does is it absorbs the odor in the pad from there. You know, here's the thing. I watch all these commercials all the time, you know, like Febreze car and all this other kind of stuff. All that stuff does is it's a perfume that overtakes the odor. So instead of you smelling that funky smell like today where it's warm, it just, it's like, oh, that smells like a funky smell and lavender. You know what I mean? It's not a good combination.
Yeah, that's so true.
And so that doesn't do anything with it. Now, there's products, as a company been around for a long time that people may have heard on WGN called Fresh Wave. They make a natural odor eliminator. And then there's another product that's also a local company called Funkaway. And they make a spray. Both those products do a really nice job on things like athletic gear. You know, if you've got hockey players or lacrosse players or, you know, team cheerleaders who, you know, their equipment and their clothing, because they sweat so much, and it can really get up strong odors. These products have odor eliminators, a lot like that Odors Out product, where it attacks the odor itself and lifts it out and then holds it to eliminate it. And so I'm more of a fan of using those types of products as opposed to the ones that just cover up the smell with perfume smells. I mean, I'm not one that particularly likes that, and some people do, and if that's what they prefer, that's certainly their choice.
It's a bad combo, though, the gunk mixed with the lavender. I totally agree with you. I can smell it now.
That's the problem, is it gets in there. Now, you know, the thing is, I mean, this is not, I mean, women tend to have more sensitive levels of smell than men. And so a lot of times, you know, I mean, I hear this all the time on Saturdays that, you know, I'll get a call and a woman will call and say, I smell it. The guy will say no. And if you can localize, if your sense of smell, man or woman, is such that you can really locate it. Like, I mean, Anna, you may have to get down on your hands and knees in the back seat and be like, oh, there it is. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes the simplest thing to do is to douse it with water to try and, you know, thin out the area that could be. So if there's odor molecules there, if you take some warm water, and you could even mix you could use bleach, but bleach, that'll give you the bleach smell, but it's not great on porous materials. There's a mold and mildew cleaner that I really like called Concrobium. And Concrobium is this, it is great on porous materials. And if there's a mildewy kind of moldy smell, you can take this stuff full strength, and in an area, if you're like, oh, that's the spot, pour it on there, get it wet, and then let it dry. What'll happen is it'll get in there and grab what's causing the odor and the mildew, and it'll kill it. And then when it dries, you can just vacuum it all up.
Got a question for Lou, 312-981-7200. It could be smell related, doesn't have to be. We have 219. This is an interesting one. You've talked about this before. Please ask Lou if he still recommends Fog U, the mold treater thing.
Yeah, so that product is a really interesting product that you use in a wall. It's like an autonomized product that you can kill mildew and mold by autonomizing it, like up in an attic space or even in a wall. However, there was a recall on the product due to some sort of EPA labeling, and I believe it's currently back in stores. There was nothing wrong with the product. It was just a question of labeling issues.
Mm-hmm.
And so I believe it's back in stores, and yes, it does work.
Okay, that works. So we've got Odors Out, we've got Fog U, we've got Funk Away. And,
yep, it's called Fog U. The product's called Fog U Mold.
Fog U Mold.
Another one's called Funk Away. Another one is called Fresh Wave. And these are all products, as opposed to ones that cover up the smell with another odor,
mm-hmm.
these are the ones that go after it and eliminate the odor.
It's cool when that happens. What about pet smells? Another question we've got for you.
So all of those are super super effective on pet smells. That Odors Out product in particular with the granules, I really like that for pet odors. And, you know, a lot of people have cats or dogs that start to have accidents. And, you know, if you let that go too long in an area like carpeting or even on hardwood floors, you know, I'll I'll hear from people that say, oh, you know, I've got an older dog and they're losing, you know, a little bit of control and they're starting to have problems. Mm-hmm. And I pulled up the carpeting and it's, you know, stained the hardwood floor. What do I do? Well, you could use a product like that granule over the top of that, but the staining that's in the flooring, you may not be able to get that out because of the chemical reaction that happens with the urine and the wood, and your only option to really eliminate that odor is to either have the floors resanded or even that section of flooring taken up and replaced.
Ooh, that sounds like a big job.
Right, right.
Musty smells from ventilation ducts. I know I have this in my washer right now. I've got a musty smell in there. What do you do about that kind of stuff?
Okay, so the musty smell in the is it a front loader?
Yeah, it is.
Okay, I can't figure out why the manufacturers can't get this right. So, you know, you've got a rubber, there's a rubber boot that is part of that system where it connects to the actual housing of the washing machine in the front, and then it connects to the drum in the back, and then that's what spins. And that rubber in between is where that musty smell is, and they just can't quite figure out how to eliminate this odor. So what I tell people is, A, when you're not using the washing machine, you have to leave the door open, which is crazy, but that's what you have to do. Also, if you... Anna, I'm going to, when you're off the air and you go home, mm-hmm. I want you to reach down in between that, the flap of the, of that rubber boot.
Yeah, never mind, I know what you're talking about.
Right, but it's all water. You're going to find an old sock that's stuck in there, and that's where the smell is coming from.
Okay.
And so, because you can't see it because the rubber is folded over. The other thing that I tell people, that same product I mentioned, Concrobium, they make it in a spray bottle, pull that rubber back a little bit to expose it. It's kind of like a flap, you know, like...
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
What's the name of that dog? You know, there's a dog breed that's got all those layers of skin. It's sort of like that. You got to pull that back, get underneath it, spray the Concrobium with the door open, let that stay overnight. There's also a product called Afresh that a lot of manufacturers suggest that every probably 3 months to 4 months, you're supposed to run this through the cycle to help clean that out. But if you do this kind of Concrobium, leave the door open when not in use, that can really help.
Just a few seconds here, Lou, but we've got 815. What about mice? What do you do to get rid of mice? What's your suggestion? A couple of
mice as in rodents?
Yeah, mice.
Yeah, so they're trying to make their way in. You know, you've got a bunch of options. One is repellents on the inside. There's a couple of these sachet packets you can buy. One is by Bionide called Mouse Magic. Another one is called Fresh Cab. So in areas where you may see evidence of these mice, you put this out there. It kind of smells like mint. It's not anything that will bother you, but rodents don't like the smell, and they'll stay away from it. And then, if you want, this is up to you, if you want to do some baiting on the outside where you use some baits to draw them out as a food source so they feed and they get fed outside, they don't come in because of the repellents, and over about a two-week period, you should be able to eliminate the problem.
Lou, will you come back again maybe later this week and talk about this? We have a number of texts about different smells, specific smells. And when you got a smell, let's face it, it's just hard to be in your house when you got...
You just want to get rid of it. I'm always happy to help.
All right, Lou Manfredini, we see him. You can hear him here on Saturdays on WGN. You see him everywhere.
Saturdays, 7 to 10, yep.
And we love hearing from you, Mr. Fix-It. Lou Manfredini, thank you for coming and checking in with us today.
Bye-bye.
The news is coming up at the top of the hour from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom, and then it's Money Mondays. We're going to get to your questions about money, but also the new way to calculate credit scores and why, if you have debt, you may want to know some things because it can negatively impact you. What to do to bring the credit scores up, coming up. Here on WGN, it's 2:05 this Monday, and I'm sitting here with two people who have saved WGN listeners a ton of money, along with a number of children who have stepped into the studio, and we're not going to explain why that is, too. You travel with a bunch of children.
Yeah, I brought my posse today. It's my daughter, mm-hmm. Natalie, and her four friends. Mm-hmm. We have Maddie, we have Echo, we have Sloan. Sloan is homesick. We have Shayla and we have Danielle.
All right, let me ask Natalie a second here, since your dad's here. Are you, step up, put the headphones on, come a little closer to the microphone, all right, over there. And let me ask you, are you good, has your dad taught you good money lessons about how to manage your own finances?
No.
You said no?
No.
Hang on.
There you go. Didn't hear it. Go ahead.
No.
No, he has not. David?
She doesn't have any money to manage yet, so it's like...
But piggy banks? You don't start with that?
No, we start with piggy banks. Well, no, she has access to a limited amount, and we have it in in growth funds that she doesn't know about, but thank you for letting her know that it's now in a growth fund, Anna. Appreciate that.
Sorry about that. Yeah, so I figured they're here. I wanted to sort of, because you got to start early with this stuff. You do.
Yes, we do. Yes, everybody does.
Yes. So, and well, that's one of the things you preach. I should also mention Ray Kaplan of the Kaplan Law Firm is here. David Hochberg of Team Hochberg. And yes, you two together have saved our listeners a ton of money by letting them know of the kinds of tools that are available for them to do that kind of thing. And I got to say, you don't just relieve people's financial stress when you do this. You relieve their stress, because when you don't have to worry about that kind of thing.
Sure.
Yeah.
Right?
I've seen people, some of our listeners have come in and talk to me about the fact that they put off getting married. They put off having children because they were so afraid of what impact their student loans were going to have on their finances, and can they even afford to have a child? And so all we really need to do is put a roadmap together and a plan. And once we're able to do that and they've got control over it, then they feel free to kind of to move on with their lives. So, yeah.
Number one question you get, Ray.
Number one question I get
most
is,
of student loans and-
yes, how can I pay less on my student loans? And 9 times out of 10, there is a way to structure it so that you're going to pay far, far less than what you're paying now.
Okay, what's the number one question you get, David?
With reverse mortgages, it is, will the bank or the government own our house, which is a 100% fallacy. The borrower still owns their homes. And then when they're paying off their debt, am I really going to be saving this much money? Because they really don't believe that when you show them, hey, we're going to take out $40,000 worth of equity in your home, and we're going to pay off $40,000 worth of debt, and we're going to wipe out anywhere from $1,000 to $1,600. Sometimes it's $2,000, $3,000. They're like, no way. I'm like, oh, yeah. And and once it sinks in, and then they see that, oh, wow, we could take that money and save for to buy a car. We could take that money to pay off a student loan.
Right.
We could take that money to put aside to take a trip that they've never taken because they've never been able to accomplish that because they're financially paralyzed.
Yeah,
and that's what it does.
Invest in the stock market, maybe, right. Or, you know, you're right, or pay off your home equity line of credit, or so many different things that you can do, better uses for that money sometimes than paying down your student loans, for example.
The median debt for older Americans shot up 400% since 1989 to 2016, according to the Federal Reserve statistics. So older people are harboring debt much longer. Another stat for you that you've been talking about a lot, David, on your show is the credit scores. Is the credit card debt, which is now over $8,000 per family or per household
nationwide.
In America right now, nationwide, $8,398 is the number of what people have on their credit cards.
That's nothing. I wish we saw that our listeners had $8,300. In this market, it's typically, in Illinois, it's about $38,000. What we're seeing, it's the highest in the 4-state region. Indiana is the lowest, which is about $34,000, $35,000. This is all from creditcard.com. You can look it up. Michigan is next, and then Wisconsin. All start with a 3. It's crazy the amount of debt people are carrying over. Our listeners are carrying over $30,000 worth of credit card debt.
And should it be on credit cards? Are those the best interest rates?
If that's the only, no. If you have, well, if that's the only source that you can carry, we've had an unbelievable run of listeners that have called us that have had some type of economic challenge or some type of health challenge, where the only way that they could survive and get through it, you know, dual income, $130,000 a year, wife goes down with some type of illness, she's out of work, money's not guaranteed, $50,000 on their credit card, thank God they have equity in their home, they didn't live high off the hog, but wife's down, wife, you lose an income, no disability insurance, they didn't plan for that because they didn't think that I'm ever going to get sick, so why buy disability insurance? All of a sudden, there's 50 G's on the credit card, wife's back, thank God she's healthy, and the only thing they have left to pay off the debt is the equity in their home, and we save them over $1,000 a month. So a lot of people don't plan on losing a job. A lot of people don't plan on going down with some almost terminal illness. Thank God she recovered. But a lot of cases, and you know, Ray will back this up, the equity in your home is the only type of liquidity that your listeners have in order to tap into, and it's usually the least expensive source of liquidity.
Absolutely.
Right?
That's true. Absolutely.
On a 30-year amortized loan.
Oh, yes. And, you know, so I always advise people as much as possible to try to stay away from, putting a whole everything on your credit card and dealing with it later. You want to first look to if you have equity in your home. And many times you have more equity in your house than you even realize. If you've been in that place for a while, So a lot of listeners are really surprised to learn how much cash they can access from their home. And then once they have access to that money, they can pay down that credit card debt quickly, which stops it from growing. And so they actually are saving so much money over time. And when we show them the calculation, how it works and how much money they're saving, it's a game changer.
So when you borrow against the cost of your house, what are the rates you can get? Is that these to mortgage rates?
Yeah, well, that's what you would get.
Lower than
you would do a cash out refinance, and you would basically take the prevailing cash out rates on a 30-year fixed loan. Okay, so, but then I got texters on our show on Saturday. Yeah, but all you're doing is replacing that debt with other debt. And I'm just like, you're 100% right, 630 texter that always calls in and tries to, you know.
You know who you are, 630.
I know who they are.
You We're looking at you.
Yeah, I mean, every time we talk about taking out money out of the home to pay off debt, and I'm just like, listen, 630, I'm glad you're in a fantastic area right now, in a fantastic spot financially, but most of these people don't have those type of resources that you have.
So the idea is to take it and put it into a lower interest style.
It's a monthly payment.
So you still have the debt. It doesn't just magically go away.
You still have the debt, but you wind up paying less on that debt because the interest rate is key. Because if you can refinance it for a lower interest rate, you stop the bleeding of your, you know, every month basically carrying and paying down that interest. And most people don't also realize how little of their payments is going to chipping away at the principal. It's all going to interest. They're just kind of bleeding money. And so the refinance really stops that
And here's
bleeding.
The thing that the 630 has to realize. Okay. Okay. whoever keeps texting me, saying that we're stripping equity. Here's what I say. Our listeners are calling us for an option to extinguish the debt that they've accumulated for whatever reason.
Right.
We're giving them an option to extinguish that debt and save a ton of money. What the listeners do with the money that we save them in order to get themselves into a better position financially for themselves in the short term and their family for the long term is up to the listeners. Okay, we're throwing them a life vest. Sometimes they like the life vest, and sometimes they don't like the color of the life vest, and they don't like the higher interest rate, even though they're saving $5,000, $6,000, $8,000, $10,000, $12,000 a year. But we're giving the listener an option to put themselves and their family into a better position. And what they do with that savings is up to them.
That's on them. Yeah. Okay, we've got a couple. We'll be right back with Ray Kaplan and David Hochberg and your money questions, 312-981-7200. We also have a question which we can get to after we take a break here, 773. What if you don't have house and equity? What do you recommend then?
It's a bigger challenge.
We're going to go into that and also talk about credit scores because there's a new way of calculating them that affects people with debt, and we want to kind of dig into that, find out how people can improve that score or what you need to know about it if that's you. 214 here on WGN, more to come. All right, David Hochberg and Ray Kaplan. Ray Kaplan of the Kaplan Law Firm, David Hochberg of Team Hochberger here on Money Mondays. FICO scores, they're changing the way they calculate it. This could affect a number of people, particularly if you carry any debt, which is a lot of America.
Yeah, it's pretty much a large percentage of our listenership. And I sent the question that you sent to me over to our credit enhancement expert, Gary Novell, who calls into our show every single week. And here's his response. The new version takes more points off for late payments. So it penalizes our listeners when they make late payments. And also, if our listeners carry balances on their credit cards monthly, it will take off more points than before, under the old scoring model.
So if you carry balances, it's going to take some more points off.
It's going to take off more points.
That means you're just not paying off your credit cards at the end of every month. That means you're carrying some sort of balance.
Which a lot of people do. And what it was done in the past, Ray, in the previous nine versions, if you had $30,000 worth of credit card debt and you made the monthly payment on time for the past,
they rewarded you for that good behavior.
They didn't penalize you.
They didn't penalize you.
And rewarded you because, you know, you were able to carry that debt. Now, from what we're reading, we haven't seen it in process yet, even though they're starting to roll it out. If you carry balances, even though if you pay it, you're going to get whacked for carrying the balance.
Just for carrying the balance, even though you're making the payments on time. A lot of our listeners have old medical bills and private student loans and even old credit card debt that they are now getting collection notices from. And many times what we can do is we can negotiate reduced balance settlements on those bills. So let's say you have a $20,000 medical bill out there or a $10,000 medical bill, we can negotiate a reduced balance settlement. And then once a settlement payment is made, then that also helps your debt to income ratio analysis on your FICO score and can help actually raise your credit score.
Because who hasn't been hit with a medical bill that sort of surprised you? And then if you're chronically ill or critically ill, or you have some, you get cancer diagnosis, then suddenly you just have to have these vast sums in order to pay them, or else they can go into default and then affect your credit and affect so many other things.
And you're talking tens of thousands of dollars. And once it goes from the hospital to the collection company, that's the kick in the teeth right there. There's your 50 points right out of the box.
Right.
And what our listeners don't realize is it goes from ABC Hospital to XYZ Collection Company. XYZ Collection Company is buying it for 10 or 20 cents on the dollar from ABC Hospital. Okay, so ABC Hospital is getting something for that debt. Okay, now XYZ Collection Company's got it, and Ray could tell you, they're a major pain in the rear end when it comes to our listeners. They don't let go. Okay,
and then, but they're only getting pennies on the dollar for.
Well, then they try to go after. Okay, so you have a $10,000 bill from ABC Hospital, right? You don't have the money. Our listener doesn't have the money. XYZ Collection Company buys it from ABC Hospital for $1,000. Okay, now XYZ Collection Company is going to list on your credit report a $10,000 collection with them from ABC Hospital, and then they try to go get as much as they can for you. And I'm not knocking the debt collection companies. That's their business model.
Right.
Right? But then it's just the vicious circle where you got to try to negotiate as best you can.
Got to negotiate a reduced balance settlement, because they're willing to do it. 40 or 50, 60% of the balance is what they'll go for usually.
Okay, I want to get to these questions too, because 773 was saying, what if you don't have house or equity to borrow from and you've got big credit card debt or, you know, high interest loan debt, and you can't dip into your house because you don't have one, you don't own one.
Yeah. Right. So in that situation, we want to take a look at everything. So are you a young person just starting out and you're looking to buy a house, then if that's the case, then I would say that we probably need to work hard to pay down those debts. And even though it might hurt for a couple of years, just to pay them down. Another way to look at it, though, is if you already, let's say you already have your house or your car, or you're older and you're not so worried about your credit in the short term, we can negotiate reduced balance settlements. So those loans are might be going into default, but we're kind of setting the table to put you in a position where you can actually then start to rebuild your credit and get rid of those debts. So it really depends.
Another option is always bankruptcy. Listen, so some individuals out there, some of our listeners, life happens, okay? And for no fault of their own, something happens uncontrollably out of their control, and they've got a ton of debt. And the only option is, after looking like this texter is, I don't own a house. I don't have any money. I don't have this. I don't have that. I can't borrow from a family member. I don't want to. I don't have a 401k. The best and only option remaining
is it maybe a Chapter 7, a fresh start? And look, our listeners need to know. Nobody's going to know except for you and the lenders. There's not going to be a scarlet letter that you have to wear around. It's not going to be advertised on television or on the radio. You're going to wipe out your debt. You're going to get a fresh start. That's what the law is there
for. But college student loans cannot qualify for that?
40% of them do. So we take a look at that too, because oftentimes we can get rid of student loans, not federal student loans, but private student loans. We file an adversary and we get rid of those as well, or we get them to the table to negotiate a reduced balance settlement.
That's interesting to know. I did not know that fact. I always thought that you really couldn't touch the student loans. So that's
very often you can.
Okay, that's
and
good.
A lot of your listeners don't know that they could be negotiated down by Ray and her team as well.
Yeah.
Okay. What 217? What if balances are 0% payment plans? Do you still get penalized? Do we understand that question?
If they're still carrying balances on the credit card,
yes.
Under this new program, 217, yes, which is kind of crazy because, you know, you walk into Apt and Roy's got a program right now, 12 months, same as cash, and you can buy all your appliances at Apt. And Roy's got an 18 months. He was on the show this weekend. Permaseal's got an offer. If you do your waterproofing and encapsulation in February, they have 18 months, same as cash. Offer right now to get your work done, you know, while it's kind of slow out there when it's freezing out. Mm-hmm. And yes, if you put a new debt on your credit report, unfortunately, with this new model, your credit report's going to get dinged a little bit.
Right. We only have a minute here, but let's get to this question. 847. I am 58. I have 19 years left on my house loan. Do I bother refinancing that loan if my rate is 4.75?
Yes.
I don't need the extra money, but I'm just trying to save for retirement and obviously save a few bucks. You do.
Well, what you have to do is, do you look at refinancing? Absolutely. Because you're at 4.75, you might be able to get into a 10 or a 15 at a lower rate, at a lower payment, or at the same payment, and cut 2 or 3 or 4 years off of that loan, pay it off two, three, four, five, 6 years faster.
That's huge savings.
It's a
right
huge
there.
Savings yeah. at the end. Yes.
Thousands of dollars.
Yes.
Tens of thousands of dollars.
That's life changing. That makes a big difference.
Sure, absolutely. So,
big yes. All right. Ray Kaplan, David Hochberg, good seeing you guys.
Thanks for having
thanks
us.
For thanks answering the that. Questions. There always are so many, and you guys help a lot of people. So thanks for helping even more today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good seeing you. We have more to come here on WGN Radio. It's 2:24, and an important information about your heart health coming up. Thank you, Steve. 2:32, and coming up in trending topics this half hour, the most accident-prone cars in the United States. And I know what you're thinking. You're probably thinking it isn't the cars. Cars are not accident-prone, are they? I guess some cars may be deemed safer than others by different safety boards, but really it's the driver. But insurance data shows people driving certain cars are more accident prone, and it may not be what you think. Steve, do you ever catch yourself doing this where you're sort of making flash judgments about someone based on their car on the road? Maybe it's a minivan driving slow or a red sports car. You're like, oh, I bet they're going to cut me off.
Yes, definitely.
Don't you? I find myself guilty of that.
Mm-hmm.
And you sort of associate the car with the person. But would it surprise you to know that the Corvette is would you say that's highly accident prone or is on the least likely?
I'm going to say now that it's least likely because I'm going to say it's a bunch of older guys buying it as their dream car and they're being really super careful with it.
You're absolutely right. And maybe that's the reason why I was a little surprised because you might start thinking that the sports car.
The hot rods, yeah. But no, these are guys with white hair who've won their whole life, and now, you know, that's what they do on Sundays.
Yeah, and good for them. It's a cool thing. I've seen them get together when they have cars, and they have these, like, car meetups and stuff like that. The mid-sized sports cars are the most accident-prone. We're going to talk more about that in trending topics. Tesla, high accident-prone or low? It is also one of the least accident-prone vehicles, so that's pretty cool. Lauren, do you find yourself falling into that trap, too, where you sort of say you kind of make a flash judgment when you're on the road, like, oh, okay, you know?
I do, but more so when I see a car that has, like, a huge scratch on one side and they're kind of swerving, I'm like, oh, God, okay, this person's definitely coming into my lane.
Yeah, I find myself doing it too. You just do. You sort of associate. But can't be every minivan driver is driving slowly, right? They're not all doing that. However, it's interesting to hear. And minivans and SUVs are among the least accident prone cars on the road. So there you go. It's fascinating to see this because they're looking at insurance data. So these are actually people who have been involved in crashes, and this is the data they're looking at, and then they link it to the car. The number one, any guesses guys, on the number one most accident prone car, or just in the top five, what would you say?
Maybe a Prius.
Prius, let me see, does a Prius even make the list? Nope, I don't see it.
Trying to think of some kind of smaller sedan type car.
It is a sedan. It's the Hyundai Sonata.
Ah.
Hyundai Sonata. That's the most accident-prone car on the road, according to the insurance data. So they looked at the highest and lowest rates of accidents based on the driving history and then linked it to the car. And they said, okay, so name another one you might think. Any other guesses about what would be most accident-prone?
Maybe like a Ford Focus.
Okay. Ford Focus. Not on the. Oh wait, Ford. Yes, Ford Focus is in the top 15.
See, now I'm looking. And now I'm trying to mentally think of cheaper four door cars that are very popular.
Yeah,
especially ones that are at like rental places. And I know Ford Focus is a very popular one for that.
Yeah, so we're gonna get to more of this in trending topics because I would think that the sports cars would be way up on the list. But maybe to Steve's point, you take care of your car when you get to have a nice fancy car or a nice sports car that is, you're less likely to want to get in an accident because you don't want there to be any harm to that particular vehicle. Sports cars were not high on the list at all. There were sport SUVs on the list, but more to come on that. But right now we want to talk to an Illinois representative who's trying to help you and help the opioid crisis, people and families who are dealing with opioid addiction in their family. Jennifer Gong Gershowitz is an Illinois representative with an idea that she's hoping will gain some momentum in state legislature first, and then beyond that, trying to help others. Representative, thanks for joining WGN. Thanks for being on with us.
Thank you so much for having me. It's great to be with you.
Well, tell me what it is what you're trying to do here, because we were talking earlier, and the opioid addiction, the path, just very frankly, looking at what happens here, it often starts with the dealer in our own homes, they say, because kids can get addicted by going to the medicine cabinet and finding old drugs and things like that, things lying around the house, and that often that's where they get their start.
That's exactly right. And it has become, as you know, a crisis in our state and around the country. And, you know, just some statistics from right here in Illinois, from 2018, emergency room visits in Illinois, over 4,000, and almost 2,000 fatal overdoses from opioids alone in Illinois last year. It's truly a crisis, and one that we need to start to think outside the box about how we do more to ensure that our medicine cabinets are not the places where drug addiction starts. And that starts with having a conversation over what to do with your unwanted medication.
All right, so that's the thing is, if you've got them lying around and you're not supposed to flush them on the toilet, that's not the answer. You're not supposed to even throw them in the garbage. That's not the answer either.
That's right. In fact, Commissioner Deborah Shore from MWRD, who has partnered with me on this legislation, will tell you that they cannot filter pharmaceutical pollution out of the wastewater. So this stuff ends up in our waterways, our lakes and streams, in the fish that you eat, and at higher and higher levels each year as more and more pharmaceuticals get flushed down the toilet or end up in our landfills where it is not, where there's no barrier to it entering into our environment.
It can get in the groundwater or potentially seep in that way. So that's why you don't throw them in the garbage. I didn't know that. I thought you could dispose of them that way, but it doesn't sound like that's the way. But you have the way, and that's what you're suggesting, which is why you're on the program today. Tell us what we should be doing and how you're trying to change the laws in Illinois so that this is better, people are better disposing of them.
So the Illinois Drug Take Back Act is truly a groundbreaking piece of legislation that will look at the comprehensive, not only disposal and take back of drugs, but also consumer education. And it does this in two ways. One, it provides a statewide convenience standard, providing for a minimum number of collection sites per county statewide. And in some of our harder to reach communities, provides for alternatives, whether it be take back days or disposal sites in communities where there aren't necessarily enough retail saturation to ensure a safe and convenient place to dispose of unwanted medications. The second is consumer education. This sets out a uniform standard for promotion that would be approved by the Illinois EPA. And most importantly, this entire effort would be funded by manufacturers who are responsible for producing and, of course, have the largest profit margins with respect to the sale of pharmaceuticals in Illinois.
Is there any way of getting a feel for, have any kind of handle on how, what percentage of drugs are disposed of properly versus not? I mean, you hear of these buyback programs every once in a while or drop-off programs, but I just wonder what the participation levels are.
That's a good question, and I think that's another thing that we might be able to develop some statistics around because of this program. This program, because it's going to be overseen by the Illinois Environmental Protection Agency, requiring drug manufacturers to submit a plan to the IEPA for approval for the collection and disposal, safe collection and disposal of all covered pharmaceuticals sold in the state of Illinois. We should have, through that model, some way of getting our arms around how much of the drugs are sold and how much of them are then collected. Whereas right now, I don't know that there's a really good source for that information.
Where are people going now? What would you suggest today if you had old drugs sitting around your house and you wanted to do the responsible thing and get rid of them? What would you say?
Well, we do have it here in Cook County, which is where I live. There has been a Cook County drug take back program launched not too long ago that's been highly successful in increasing the number of safe disposal sites in Cook County. And so I would encourage folks to go onto the website for Cook County and see if there's a list of sites, safe disposal sites close to them. But right now, the issue that we have statewide is it's very much a patchwork. Mm-hmm. There have been some efforts by retailers to set up safe disposal. The sheriff's department has been involved in drug take back. Solid waste agencies in Lake County, as well as in northern Cook County, have been involved in safe drug disposal. The issue is it's not uniform. And right. So if you live in, in the suburbs of Cook County or you live in the city, to your point, there's not one place to go to look for where is the most convenient place should I as a consumer ensure that I'm not leaving an opioid in my medicine cabinet after a minor medical procedure where I have 70% of the drug still left over, which
and then they end up in the wrong hands, which is what you're trying to combat here with the opioid.
Exactly. We know up to 71% of prescribed opioids go unused by patients.
Yeah. Unbelievable. Well, I hope this initiative works out. It seems like a good one. Illinois Representative Jennifer Gong Gershowitz, thanks for your time. Thanks for being on WGN.
Thank you so much for having me.
Trending Topics is up next here on WGN, including we're going to talk about the accident-prone cars, but also the Lake County dog that can sniff out electronics and has already helped, listen to this, several identity theft groups. That's an amazing thing, and it's in Trending Topics. More to come. Time for Trending Topics. Lauren Lapka is here in the studio, and we've got much to talk about. We said that you didn't watch the All-Star game.
I don't fully know why I didn't, but I didn't. I decided to take the weekend to step away from real life.
Chill out. Yeah, you need that every once in a while.
Just kind of
detach. And
exactly. Detach is the perfect word to describe
mm-hmm.
it.
Did it feel
very
good?
Refreshing, yes.
You didn't watch any movies?
No, I did watch movies, but nothing
current.
Yeah, no news,
events.
No sports. I kind of just let myself step away.
Just detach.
Yeah.
Steve Bertrand is here also. You also did not watch the NBA All-Star game, or did you watch it, Steve?
You know, I was watching a different show on my computer mm-hmm. in my lap, mm-hmm. and then I had the TV on in the background, so I tuned in for Chance the Rapper,
mm-hmm.
and I sort of watched Jennifer Hudson, but didn't listen to her.
She was awesome. How could you not listen to her?
I don't know. It sounds terrible to say, but I just feel like it's enough.
I
don't mean that in a disrespectful way at all, but mm-hmm. it's sort of like, not that they're milking it or wallowing in it, but I just have, it's just...
It's kind of the same thing every time.
Yeah.
I think for those of us who don't know him, and I didn't, mm-hmm. and most people we know don't know him, there seems as if a point of mourning and then a point of respect, and then it's sort of over. That community knew him, right? They all knew
I guess
him and loved
but
him.
They were doing it for the TV audience, too.
Yeah, that's right.
But I will that my Marquette buddy, Dwayne Wade, when he teared up being mentioned, was it in the Common Rap?
Mm-hmm.
That was sweet.
It was sweet.
Yeah.
It was totally a moment. We were mentioning before in the Common Rap that he was able to somehow successfully rhyme every single NBA All-Star starter's name in the introductions, and there's a little bit of audio of that.
Like a protest on the court, he's an all-time disruptor. From the Miami Heat, y'all give it up for Jimmy Butler.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Here from the champion Toronto Raptors, and you know they did it proudly. Six-time All-Star and floor commander Kyle Lowry.
And it just went on. Every single name was somehow worked into a rhyme. It just, and we found out from Ryan Burrow, who was there from ABC News and WGN Radio News, that there was no prompter. He's just sort of doing his thing.
That's impressive.
Well, it was a nice showcase of Chicago, and it was a nice showcase of Chicago, kind of in a different direction
mm-hmm.
That we don't usually see, more of an urban direction, I think. And I thought that was really a nice way to show off the city last night.
Yeah, it was a celebration of Chicago. You know, you talked about the Kobe tributes, but I would say that the tributes to this city and the people that it's produced, not only NBA legends like Michael Jordan, you had Isaiah Thomas talking, mm-hmm. but you had, they also talked about everyone from Oprah to Obama to, you know, a number of different people in the performing world.
I mean, your name
world.
Came up briefly, I think.
Yeah, for like, yeah. right. It probably sounded like an NBA name because some of these names are pretty unpronounceable, which is why I was so struck how Common was able to rhyme every single one of them. I don't know why that grabbed me so much, but I thought, oh my gosh, he's going to do every single one of them. Every single one. Nikola Jokic, that rhymed with something. You know, Djokovic? Everyone. Is that his
anything?
Name? I don't know. He's an all-star from the Denver Nuggets. I don't know. I really don't know. Then Giannis Antetokounmpo, however you say his name.
Come on, that's a Greek name, isn't it?
No, Giannis is, but the second part is not. But the, okay. you know, there is a story about the Greek American community in Chicago and in Milwaukee flock out to see him because he's, you know,
I was gonna say, you should have that name.
He's a countryman.
Right.
He's, you know, he's one of us. He's, you know, that's what he is, and he's a huge star. A lot of Chicago connections, no Chicago Bulls out there, but you thought saw Anthony Davis.
Made it a better game.
You really, they would have ruined it. They probably would have. Okay, here's part two to that angry airline passenger situation. By now, you probably heard about the seat war between the woman and the man on the airline, American Airlines, and how he was tapping the thing, and she was shoving her, and she, after she reclined into his lap, and it became a reclined gate. Recline gate is what it was called, right? Now she is speaking out, and she said it wasn't even just the man that was the problem. She felt as if the woman in front who did the reclining, this is, she felt as if the flight attendant handled it in a way that made it even a bigger deal. And here she is speaking out about that.
She was huffy with me and then went back to the man and said, "Oh, I'm so sorry, sir. You know, it's tight back here." And then during drink service, she said, "Would you like a rum with that? Would that make your day better?" And I was like, what is going on here? And, you know, at that point, I took my phone out again and started just taking notes, at which point she really got angry because I stayed completely calm.
Well, I don't get why she's mad about that. Yeah, he's angry, so she's trying to make him happy. Therefore, maybe he'll stop punching your seat. What? Why is she mad about
Doesn't
that?
Doesn't it feel like there were multiple opportunities for both of them to sort of make this right?
Right. I think the flight attendant was mad because she was being a mom with a 3-year-old and a 4-year-old.
Yeah, it felt like that. I mean, gosh, I know if you're allowed to recline and does recline, but doesn't it feel bad sometimes when you recline right into someone's lap and maybe you should ask and just turn around and say something?
I apparently never do because I feel guilty.
I kind of do too.
But still, it's almost assault for that guy to keep doing that.
Yeah.
His response,
that's freaky,
outrageous,
too.
Just outrageous, right?
Unnecessary.
It just seemed like, again, you know, I know it seems like airline travel in general promotes misery in some ways. The seats are too small. They shouldn't recline that far into
your
lap.
You're going on vacation.
I love a vacation, but let's just face it. Who loves the idea of the traveling part?
Flying for business 3 times a week, you got to deal with crying babies, reclining seats, really bad smells, people that are taking off their shoes. Oh, that could be miserable.
I know. And it just feels like they both were wrong here, and they could have corrected it if they just sort of were, you know, just sort of just like be kind. You learn it in kindergarten.
Compromise, people.
Kind.
Come on.
Right. But now she may be suing the airline is the situation here. She said basically they're placing blame. American is placing blame on her for what happened, and she doesn't like that. And there was a rude flight attendant, and apparently she spilled the man's drink but didn't know that she did that, so felt that there was an overreaction, as we all know.
So she was leaning back, like, even during drink service and things like that, do we know? Or
I don't know if it's during the drink service or not, but it felt as if, it does seem like that must have been.
Right,
because,
right.
Yeah,
that's
the drink got spilled. So, but don't you know those people who just fall asleep on the plane the second they get on?
Yeah.
It's hard. You just got to be cognizant of everybody around you and just be kind. CEO of another airline said basically that he was interviewed on CNBC just for a totally unrelated thing. Delta Airlines, Ed Bastian, went into it and he said, "I think customers have the right to recline. We're testing reduced reclining." So that's what's coming next. Reduced reclining. You can only half recline.
I think we should do lean forward.
Stand straight up, right?
Sit
Why not stand?
Just like strap you in.
Sit like a jackknife, like lean forward a little bit.
Talk about a bad back.
Right.
Gosh, I don't know. I'm not sure that's the right answer or any of these are the right answer. It's all, hopefully that one goes away. We also want to talk about Indiana Dunes because it's goes National Park. We know about that, right? It became the 61st National Park in 2019. And now more guests than ever are discovering the coastline's natural beauty. They say it's up 20% to 40%.
Oh, nice.
Since it was reclassified. Pretty cool. 15,000 acres of woodlands, prairies, savannas, bogs, wetlands, beaches, and shoreline. And now, as part of the national park system, it got more funding and a huge influx of new visitors.
So I went there once, it's been 25 years ago or more, for a bachelor party, like a bunch of guys were to camp out.
Yeah.
And we were camping out in the federal campground, and the rangers came, and we had beers and stuff. The rangers, they're very nice. They said, hey, you can't do that here. You can't drink here. But you can at the state park, which is across the street. So we went across the street, camped there, and the raccoons were so tame that, like, we were sitting on a picnic table and the raccoons would come up behind us on, like, if our butt was on the upper part of the table, the raccoons would be walking behind us on the table.
Oh my God. Tells me somebody's feeding the raccoons. And,
It was unbelievable.
Yeah. Did you have a nice time though? Because it's very enjoyable over there.
Yeah. I mean, I was 25 years old.
A while ago.
Yeah.
You haven't been back since, Steve?
No, I don't think I have.
Yeah.
But now that it's a federal park, maybe
there
I will.
There you go. You got to go now. This is the new thing. So things are going well for the Indiana Dunes in that way. I know they have some shoreline erosion parts of it, but generally the visitorship is way, way up. Okay, Kobe Bryant jersey made out of flowers appears at Michael Jordan's birthday party. Apparently, Michael Jordan celebrated his birthday Friday here in Chicago. Did not know that. Hmm. And they made him a jersey out of flowers for the party.
And it was Kobe jersey?
It was a Kobe Bryant jersey made entirely out of flowers that they presented him with. And it's 57. Is he 57?
I think he's 57, yeah. But that's, again,
I don't know how you wear that.
Yeah, I don't know what you could do with that. I guess they were close and they wanted to do something. And so they gave him a flower jersey.
Okay. It's an interesting gift. It's like one of those, like, oh, it's beautiful. Thank you.
Thanks.
Scratches a little when I put it on.
A little itchy.
Can't wear that or even take it home, really, because it will die.
It's attracting the bees.
It worked for the party. I don't know. I don't know who came up with this, but that's what happened. And that's going to do it for Trending Topics. It's 2:55. We'll check in with Rokan, see what's coming up on his show. 3 to 7 today, and then also check in and get the news from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom.